Chapter 6. One Perfect Moment. We could see the heartbreak in his eyes as she said that name. Selene watched her brother across the churning water, teeth trapped behind that silvered cage. Jean-Francois glanced at Gabrielle sidelong. Even Meline and young Dario looked at him with something close to pity. But the last silver saint stared only at the empty bottle in his hand, fingers drumming upon the glass. The dusk dancer's voice was trembling as she staggered toward the beast, Selene continued. And, as if released from the grip of some horrid choker long cinched about his throat, the wolf bounded forward with something between a howl and a cry. They crashed together, embracing as best they could, the flesh witch sinking to her knees and holding the wolf tight to her breast. Here was the riddle, answered at last, the secret of where Lily had got the dancer blood that fueled her brother's conquest, a prince, stolen from his Highland home. Tears rolled down Phoebe's bloody cheeks, her prayers of thanks hoarse with joy and sorrow. He could not speak, but Connor's elation at their reunion glittered in the pale blue of his eye, the rumbling growl in his chest, and though he'd not be able to dance his wheeled shape away until dim dusk fell after so long apart, it would only be a matter of hours before Phoebe Adunzair's husband could hold his bride in his arms once more. Her husband. We saw that thought darkening the grey of Gabriel's eyes, crawling up his throat as he desperately tried to swallow. Phoebe looked to him then, and we saw that same heartsick pain in her, shining in that gold, flooding now with tears. That which was lost, found. That which was found, lost. It hung unsaid between them, a severing, cold as steel and sharp as a broken blade. Gabriel looked away, jaw clenched, focusing instead on the girl in his arms, the tiny, beating, bleeding heart of his world. For he had moved heaven and earth, swum an ocean of blood, fought the legions of hell to return to her side. And in the end, if she was well, then all was well. He helped us. Rain looked to the great bloodied wolf, her mismatched eyes locked on his singular blue. He saved us. I don't know why.
Doesn't matter, Gabriel murmured, kissing the Grail's brow. You're safe now.
I hurt you,
Dior winced, touching his torn and bleeding cheek. I'm sorry.
No, love, hush, he whispered, smoothing her bloodied hair back from her face. You've nothing to be sorry for. I hurt you. And all the apologies in the world will never be enough for that, but still, I'll give them to you. I am so sorry, Dior.
She shook her head.
You kept your promise. You didn't leave me.
Never, he vowed, eyes shining with tears. I am so proud of you.
Merci, she whispered, crying now. Papa.
They held each other tight then, each clinging to the other in the midst of all that dark and all that cold, warm and sweet and bright. For the Holy Grail was safe. The prophecy had been unearthed in full. Day's death could yet be ended. And it seemed, for one moment, all was right in the world. The battle above had stilled. The storm held its breath. For that brief heartbeat, there was no pain, but joy. There was no death, but hope. There was no heaven, but here. One perfect moment, worth all the sacrifice under heaven to attain, if only here was where the story ended. But though they are as far apart as dawning and dusk, historian, moments and lifetimes have one thing in common.
Jean-Francois raised an eyebrow in silent question. They never last, Gabriel murmured.
Dior's hand was mangled and bloodied, Selene said. The cloth Gabriel had bound it in already soaked red. She was pale, frail, Rain holding onto her good hand now as the shock began to seep in.
But still, Dior looked to me, a shadow across her eyes, sharpening as she gazed back up at my brother, at the statues around them, the Redeemer above. Do you see? That whisper hung in the air, heavy as forever. The sound of battle in the city above leached back into the silence. Wild pipes, rhythmic chanting. Our blood-soaked victory ringing in the ruins of the Nine Swords' dream. The storm's song seemed distant now. Angry thunder echoing on the walls as Gabrielle truly looked around the tomb we all stood in. Those five figures encircling the one, clad in archaic priest's garb, their fanged mouths open in anguish. My brother's face paled as he saw that each wore a different sigil around their necks. Twin wolves, roses and snakes, a bear and broken shield, two skulls, and finally, a pale raven in flight. Looking up into the face of this last figure, he whispered a name into the dark. Fabienne. It was him. An artist's rendition, but still unmistakable. A youth, fierce and fey, beautiful even in his terror. And Gabrielle spoke then, a quote from scripture every child in Elladane knows. The Book of Laments. And the hands grew red as heart's blood. And the tempest cracked the sky. And the rain was like to the tears of all the winged host fallen. Those priests of God, false and covenants broken, numbering all the fingers upon hell's burning hand, did stand in bleak amazement. Five fingers, Dior swallowed, looking from the bloody stains on her skin to those screaming figures beneath the Redeemer's wheel. Five priests. Five bloodlines, Gabriel realized. Sweet Mother Moons, Phoebe whispered, rising now to her feet. And the Redeemer raised his eyes to his Almighty Father's throne, Dior continued, turning now to me. And his heart did stain the bones of the earth, and with voice akin to thunder he cried, By this blood, Gabriel whispered, shall they have life eternal. Hell. I looked to those kneeling figures nodding. Eternal. At Mass, they used to tell us that was the Redeemer's promise to the faithful. Dior stood with Rain's arm about her waist now, her voice shaking. His covenant to those who'd build his church after he died. But these are the priests who murdered him, she said, waving to those five figures. His final words weren't for us. They were for them. He cursed them, Phoebe whispered, with his dying breath. These priests, Dior nodded, cold eyes on ours, they were the first vampires to walk the earth. My brother looked to those figures of pale stone, kneeling about the godchild they had murdered, and then up to the Redeemer he had prayed to that very dawn. All of this, he breathed, all the misery, all the blood, all these years we looked to you for salvation, but you were the one who damned us. My brother shook his head, tears on his bloody cheeks as he spoke to that statue. You made them. And then he turned to me, fury boiling in his eyes. And you knew. Silence fell in the cell, save for the scratching of Jean-Francois' quill. The thralls glanced among each other, Meline and Dario and Delphine and his men, dumbfounded at this revelation. For his part, the historian simply continued writing, though whether he kept his composure through practice or because he'd already known the truth, none could say. But the silence stretched long, and the quill fell still, and yet Selene Castilla did not speak. She was glowering at her brother now, black eyes burning like tiny suns. He'd finally lifted his gaze from his empty bottle, cheeks flushed with fury and words slurred with drink. Well, what are you waiting for?
For you to finish it, she replied.
Fuck you, he hissed.
It was your fault, Gabrielle.
Fuck
You! You and your idiot rage, she snarled, looking him up and down. Your pig-headed, lack-witted pride. If you'd managed to keep hold of either, none of what came next.
You knew!
Gabriel roared, rising. You'd known the whole fucking time. You'd deceived us for months, lie after lie. Drinking souls, risking Dior, stabbing me in the back.
And still you bleat about it, you whining, drunken fool.
Enough!
The historian's roar cracked the air, cowing the siblings into silence. Jean-Francois was on his feet too now. Tome clutched in one hand, Chocolat eyes ablaze with fury.
I have listened to you bicker for the best part of a night, and though I have eternity ahead of me, I have not one more moment to waste on this childishness. The sun is rising, mademoiselle and monsieur, and I shall taste the pleasures of my bed before it is full in the sky, or by the Almighty, you will both pay the forfeit. Now sit your asses down and finish this.
Stillness rang long and deep in that cell, the thralls not even daring to breathe.
So help me God!
I flew at her, Gabriel snarled, right at her fucking throat. All the lies, all the rage, all the loss, her treachery at Cairnheim, my father, this!
It was too much for me to stomach in that moment.
When we'd been children, we'd fought always side by side, sticks in hand, back to back, facing down endless legions of imaginary foes.
Ever outnumbered, we'd say. Never outmatched. Always lions. But all that was dust and past now. And no matter how much I ached for it, I knew the rift between us would never be made whole. I could still see the bloody bliss in her eyes as she drank Alain to ashes. I could still hear her voice as she told me to trust in her hate. And so I did, spitting it, spewing it, flying at her through the dark like a knife and crashing against her in fury. Dior cried my name as Selene and I fell upon each other. Phoebe let go of Connor and roared at me to stop, stop. But I was blinded by it. The lies, the betrayal. But more, most, the thought that everything this world had suffered had been of his design. A part of me always knew it. When you truly think about it, alone in the deeping hour, when the music stops and the babble stills and you stare hard into that bloody mirror of your soul, it's impossible to reconcile the idea of a benevolent creator with a life that looks like this. To convince yourself the one above cares when there's so much horror and hurt and hate in the world. Only the blind can look into hellfire and smile. Only the coward raises a fist to his child and calls it love. And I was reminded of that time I spoke to Patience then, her little dead bird cupped in her palms, her questions about why he died. I told you it's hard to explain death to your child, vampire, but in truth, it's impossible to explain any of this to anyone. So we settle for the myth of the grand plan, for the fable of the God who loves us. We teach ourselves to believe in the lie, that all of it will make sense once we die. But in truth, there's no truth to any of it. We suffer because he wants it. We hurt because he wills it. We die because he likes it. And if there is a plan, cold blood, then this is the extent of it. Gabriel waved at the walls, the dark stone around them and empty night beyond.
A world on its knees, begging for just one moment of mercy, bleeding its miserable last into the mouths of the monsters his own fucking son created.
My hands closed around Selene's throat, and hers around mine. I could smell our blood boiling, the pair of us, Phoebe stepping in now to tear us apart. Dior screamed my name again, begging me to stop. Papa, please. Eyes bright and blue and locked on mine. So she didn't see the shadow behind. She rose up from the water, a black and twisted ruin. Her hair had been burned away, her dress, her silks, barely more than a skeleton in a suit of charred skin. She'd no eyes left in her skull, but still she could smell that blood, thick and ripe on the air. And reaching out with both clawed hands, what was left of Lily, she... Gabrielle's voice faltered, fading. She... Silence slunk back into the cell, swallowed by the rushing waters. The last Silver Saint's eyes were welling with tears now, hands shaking, long black hair draped about his face like a shroud as he sank down to his knees on that dark shore. "I do not understand," Jean-Francois said. "La Chance had stabbed Lily through the chest. Her blood had been enough to bury an ancien son of Fabien Voss. A divoc would surely have ended after an anointed blade to the heart." "She didn't have one." The historian blinked, staring at the Silver Saint. "She had said so herself. Toliev tore it out the night he killed her." "We kith remain in the state we died in, historian," Selene murmured. "Why think you she never removed that corset? Why think you they named her... heartless?" Jean-Francois sighed. "Connor was the first to move," Gabriel said, his voice gone hard and cold now. "Turning toward Lily as she reached out for Dior, but just not swift enough. Lily's hands closed around Dior's face, and Dior screamed, flailing, trying desperately to get away. But though her fingers were barely more than burned twigs, still that awful strength in Lily endured. Not a goddess, but a thing who slew them. And with a shapeless, hateful snarl, Lily twisted Dior's head so hard, it almost came clean off her neck. Gabriel hung his head, staring at his outstretched hands, trembling. "We heard the awful sound," Selene whispered. "Even with our cursing and fighting, Phoebe shouting still, we heard it. Wet crackling and rain screaming and all the light in the world running now to black. With a roar, raging, God, so much fury and hatred it shook the walls, Connor threw himself at the heartless, fangs closing around her throat. His claws tore the ashes of her chest, his teeth sank into the blackened ruins of her neck. With one last hateful stab from the edge of the hell she fell into, Lily thrust her fist through the great wolf's ribs in a spray of red. And as brave Connor O'Loughlin, descendant of the Moon's Throne, and Ailey the Stormbringer, tore Lily's head from her shoulders, so too did she seize hold of his dauntless heart and rip it clean from its cage. The pair of them fell, Lily bursting at last into a spray of charred ashes, Connor striking the water black run to red. Phoebe flew to him, wailing, falling to her knees at her husband's side, pressing desperate hands to the hole in his chest. But all hope was lost, all life fled. The dark magics in his veins at last gave way as death took hold of his hand and his body took his true shape, bones twisting, fur receding, leaving only a man now, lifeless, broken, cradled in his weeping widow's arms. He was hard and beautiful, older than she, a prince of the Moon's Throne, torn by battles and scarred by trials, his one blue eye still open, his ashen hair sodden with water run through with blood. And Phoebe held him to her breast, and she threw back her head, and she screamed. Rain was sobbing, cradling Dior's broken body and rocking her back and forth. Gabriel and I still lay in the water, too shocked to speak, even to move, save to release the hateful, burning holds we had upon each other's throats. But the spell of stillness broke as my brother realized what had happened, what we had done and allowed to be done, scrambling through the bloody water now to Dior's side. He took hold of her, terror and disbelief piercing the heart of him, saying,
"No, no, baby, don't.
And holding her tight to his heaving chest. He looked to me then, desperate, madness swelling and cracking at the edges of his eyes. But though the blood of Ancien might snatch a soul back from the jaws of death, even a fool could see grim Manet had already claimed his prize. The girl's head hanging limp upon her shattered spine, no pulse, no breath, no life.
The Holy Grail of Saint-Michel was dead.
Dior?
Gabrielle whispered, shaking her. Bloody tears spilled down our cheeks. All the hope inside us died.
Dior?
The last Laethi shook her head, thick red spilling over her lashes.
I have seen the abyss, but a breath from my face, sinner. I have heard the pleas of countless immortals as they begged for their forevers. I have listened to the cries of 1,000 orphaned babes, widowed grooms, childless mothers, of a realm run utterly to ruin, and I tell you, the scream my brother let out then was like no sound I have ever heard. It was not fury. It was not fear. It was heartbreak. Perfect and awful and complete. It was the scream of a man who had dragged himself back from the very edge of despair, now plummeting into darkness. It was the scream of a man who had wagered everything, his heart, his soul, his sanity, on never failing someone who loved him again. It was the scream of the damned. I slithered to our knees, there in the dark, utterly lost. All I had done, every lie, every betrayal, every sin, had been done for this, for her. And now, she was gone. I stared into the jaws of the abyss awaiting me, the souls I had stolen clambering up inside me, knowing there would be no escape for any of us now. Should I simply end it, I wondered, now that all hope had fled? Should I go to meet my Maker, try to convince him my hand was not upon the knife, to beg, at least I tried. At least I tried. All was dark. All was tears spilling down my face as Phoebe sobbed over her husband, as Rain sobbed over her first, as Gabriel smoothed back the ashen hair from Dior's lifeless face and kissed her cooling brow, his song soft in the gloom. Sleep now, my lovely. Sleep now, my dear. Dark dreams will fade now your papa is near. Fear not the monsters. Fear not the night. Papa is here now, and all shall be right. Close your eyes, darling, and know this be true. Morning will come, and your papa loves you.